Hello and welcome to Quilter Cheviot's Markets Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into topics and trends that we've been exploring for you here at Quilter Cheviot. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you are listening on, or by following hashtag QC Weekly Comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host, Jack Bishop, investment manager based out of our Manchester office, and standing for Richard this week is Ben Barringer, our global tech analyst. A very good morning to you, Ben. So the main event last week, in case you were living under a rock, was Liberation Day. Not too sure how many of us felt liberated on the back of Trump's announcements. So he slapped 10% baseline tariffs on all imports into the US, and then higher reciprocal rates on certain countries. So whether that's kind of Asian manufacturers, China, Vietnam, etc. So last week, Richard had hoped that we might get some clarity on US trade policy, and there might have been some complex calculation to work out the rates. Instead, it seems they've simply taken the trade deficit of a country, divided it by the imports and halved it. But a baseline 10% applies. So if somewhere like the UK, which runs a trade surplus in goods, which an important distinction, we're still hit with that baseline 10%. So markets, as you'd expect, and all of our listeners will have probably seen, have sold off. US market was down 5% on the day after the announcement. The dollar has weakened, bond yields have fallen. And then on Friday, China then announced retaliatory tariffs of 34% on all US imports, causing a further sell-off in European markets, and that's spread into the US and into Asia at the start of this week. So just parking Liberation Day, Ben, just for a second, we did also have some important macroeconomic data last week. The ISM Manufacturing Index fell back into contraction territory. The new orders component fall into a 22-month low, and the prices paid component jumping, and that's to the highest level since June 2022. So reading between the lines, a bit of a stagflationary data release there, lower investment and spending, but higher inflation. So tariffs probably likely to complicate that situation a bit more. And then just finally, before we come on to some questions, we've had on Friday the latest non-farm payroll data, which saw 228,000 jobs created. Employment rate ticking up slightly, which in any other month, that would have been a fairly good report, but failed to stem the renewed selling on Friday. So Ben, firstly, before we get into the wider macro implications and discussing your sector, our clients are probably likely to be quite concerned with the recent market volatility. What advice would you give to them to help try and ease some of those concerns?
Look, the main thing is that markets and also companies and economies are very resilient and very flexible. And maybe this feels a little bit like COVID, where we're, you know, full of uncertainty. And what's important is that not only can companies adapt to the new environment, whatever that is, but also, and most importantly, at Quilter Cheviot, we have a very strong team who, this is their bread and butter. We live to demonstrate value to our clients. And importantly, you know, we're spending lots of time analysing exactly what we think is going to happen and positioning ourselves for that. Now, you know, there's clearly uncertainty around GDP, inflation, and then most importantly to us as fundamental analysts, what's going to happen to profitability and earnings. And there's lots, and we've only got, you know, 25 minutes to talk about this. There's lots of different outcomes across, you know, the sectors and different asset classes. But I work in the, you know, the fundamental equity research team, and the team are working extremely hard to try and position ourselves for, you know, eventual outcomes. Just to give you that, you know, that US GDP reduction, we think US GDP is going to come down this year from 2.2% to about 0.7% if the current tariffs are, you know, left in place. But yeah, I think the key point for you, Jack, is, you know, please don't panic. We've seen corrections like this before. They always look different at the time, but actually, you know, the economy and the market and companies are very good at adapting.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful just to put that into context. So we've had that announcement, Ben. We've had the potential implications. We're now in that response stage. So we've heard from China. They've retaliated. We've also heard from places like Vietnam and Taiwan and Europe. So you just talk us through kind of some of the different responses we're hearing.
Yeah, so remember that Vietnam was hit with a 46% tariff. It looks like that they are willing to cut some of their tariffs in trying to come to an agreement with the US. So we shall see, watch that very closely, because one of the key tenets or concerns is how negotiable these tariffs are. Taiwan is very interesting. Again, they're trying to negotiate down to zero. And actually, if you look at what TSMC has done, remember I'm a tech analyst, they've been quite front-footed in trying to be, well placed in terms of investing in the US and bringing jobs to the middle classes within the US, which I think is a key tenet of what Trump is and his advisors are trying to achieve. It appears from news reports that the EU is potentially going to announce some retaliation as well. I think that's going to a vote on Wednesday. So we're very much at the response stage of this crisis or of this implementation by Trump.
Okay, great. And I know you like to try and break this down really. So, what are the kind of the primary readouts and then secondary, tertiary? Just talk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, as fundamental analysts, it's important to know how your companies are going to be impacted by these tariffs. And I try and, model that in three ways. One, does your good have a primary tariff on it? So autos, for example, 25% tariffs. And then how is that going to be impact demand? And then what percentage of your demand comes from the US, right? So in the case of autos, let's assume that that 25% tariff creates a 15% reduction in demand, and US autos represents 20% of that. So that's, about 3% impact on global autos demand, assuming my assumptions are right. So those are primary impacts in terms of sales and earnings. The secondary impacts would be something like semiconductors. Actually, at the moment, there aren't many tariffs been introduced on semiconductors. They're going to be a separate carve-out piece. But obviously, semiconductors go into a lot of products that are going to have tariffs. And so I would classify that as a secondary impact. And then thirdly is what I would call, sort of macro impacts. So in my sector, tech is acyclical. IT spending is acyclical. When times are good, people increase their IT spending. When times are bad, they try and cut it back. And so that's going to impact things like software. That's going to impact things like cloud spending. And then that's also going to impact digital advertising as well. And so, that GDP estimate that I made at the beginning really is trying to get to what's going to be the cyclical impacts on some of my companies. So that's a useful framework to think about the tariffs as I see it.
That's great, Ben. And then maybe just coming on to tech, then your area of focus last year was definitely all about Magnificent Seven, big tech. Coming into this year, you'd anticipated the market returns would broaden out. Could you just run through maybe the fundamentals, relative growth in your sector now, trying to account for the recent moves in markets?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the question. So look, yeah, we've always thought about tech from three perspectives, as you say. Fundamentals, what's happening in fundamentals? IT spending coming into this year was expected to be a bit better than 2024, but that looks like in the last sort of 6 weeks that started to roll over. And so that's concerning for us. I've already mentioned things like software spending, cloud spending, digital advertising. So we're keeping a very close eye on those surveys. There are some structural reasons why tech can, continues to grow, but there's also some cyclical as well. So fundamentals, good, but potentially deteriorating. Relative growth. Now, this is really important. Last year was dominated by the market was dominated by tech and dominated by the Mag 7. Last year, growth for tech in earnings was about 26%. The rest of the market was about 4%, something like that. In 2025, that is the differential is much less, 20% from tech and about 8-9% from the rest of the market. So, and this is pre-tariffs and everything. But the point is, diversifying a little bit away from tech in 2025 versus 2024. That is also true in the Mag 7 as well. Very, strong growth from the Mag 7. That differential between Mag 7 and the rest of tech is significantly less. In fact, non-Mag 7 tech is actually going to grow faster in 2025. So what we've been doing is reducing our tech exposure, but particularly our Mag 7 exposure. And so much more of an inline weighting in terms of Mag 7 at the moment. So that's relative growth. We have to also, you know, think about what's going to happen to other sectors as well. You know, how well is banks going to do in this environment, and how well are oils and so forth to determine whether tech outperforms or not. So that's super important. And then finally, you know, what's going to happen to growth and rates? Technology is a long-duration asset, and therefore higher rates mean the sector generally does worse. Lower rates, the sector generally does better. And I think that's, you know, really important because if you look at the statements from the Fed, they're still very much in a sort of wait-and-see mode, particularly, you know, even around these tariffs. So they'll be very closely watching the labor market because that's one of the key sort of health signs, if you will, for the U.S. economy. I think the Trump administration wants, you know, lower yields. So, you know, that also plays to what Trump is trying to achieve as well. But yeah, look, you talked about the economic data. The labor market is a key thing for people to watch.
Great, Ben. Really helpful. So obviously, all of this chaos does present opportunities as well, and some positions look better than others. So how do you think opportunities are looking in this current backdrop?
Yeah, look, so from the highest level, from an asset allocation perspective, I would point you to our overweight in fixed interest, right? We've got that for, you know, defensiveness and a sort of insurance policy, if you will, for just these kinds of events. So that's the key thing that's helping us at the moment. Then in terms of, you know, digging down into tech, you know, companies that are defensive, that we think earnings, you know, is reasonably stable, I'd point you at something like Netflix. Netflix television actually is a very defensive activity. It's a relatively cheap form of entertainment. Rather than going for a meal out, you probably stay in and watch a bit of Netflix. And, you know, we used to cover Sky when that was quoted. It's now owned by Comcast. But that is a very defensive asset. So companies like that we'll be looking at. You know, there is a huge amount of uncertainty, I'm afraid, both from CEOs and from consumers, you know, consumer confidence. But the important thing is we've got a team of more than 20 who are looking for these opportunities, assessing the risks, and then looking for opportunities. And that's what I'd point you to. You know, it's really important that you trust our experienced team to look for these opportunities and risks. Thanks.
Brilliant, Ben. Thank you very much for your thoughts, and hopefully that gives some peace of mind to some of our clients in these testing times. Thank you to all of you for listening. Did you enjoy our discussion on the podcast today? We'd love to hear from you, so please review the show now wherever you're listening and share it on your socials and tag us @QuiltAchieveIt. To make sure you don't miss a future episode, tap the subscribe button, and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can head over to our website, www.quiltachieveit.com. You can read accompanying market overviews, subscribe to the weekly comment newsletter, and you can also stay up to date with all of our thoughts, whether that's market news, industry insights, or upcoming events and webinars on our website or on our social media pages. We do have a webinar scheduled on the 16th of April at 11:00 A.M., where Ben will be joined by Richard Carter and also Adam Smith, the former Chief of Staff to the Chancellor of the Exchequer, discussing the Trump administration, tariffs, etc. So you can find details of that on our website or contact your investment manager. And finally, we'd love to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question you want to ask one of our experts for the next podcast, simply ask them via our weekly comments page on the website. But that's it for today. Thank you to Ben for your time. Really appreciate it. And to all of you for listening. We'll see you next time.